need another pen? All right, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get started. Brother Jim Nations, I'm glad you're here. Would you stand and open us up in prayer? I would greatly appreciate that. Amen. Amen. All right, open to Genesis chapter 17. We started in Genesis 12 last week, Genesis chapter 17. Each week, we're going to try to continue to establish where God gave Israel the land of promise. Okay, Genesis chapter 17. God is reiterating His covenant with Abraham. He's reestablishing, He's reminding him about what He has done. Genesis chapter number 17. All right. Everybody find the book of Genesis? Find the book of Revelation and go left several books. All the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." So God is the one making the covenant here. Abram is not making a covenant with God. God is the one making the covenant. When we trusted Jesus Christ our Savior, we're not the one who came to God. God came to us, okay? We didn't seek Him. He sought us. Very, very different. If we're the ones making the covenant, or Abram's the one making the covenant of God, it's easy to break. But when God makes the covenant, it cannot be broken. Amen? All right. Verse number 3. "And Abram fell on his face, as he should, and God talked with him. And here's what God said to him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." The name Abraham means a father of many nations. All right? Verse number 6. "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant." Very key, underline that. Everlasting. Everlasting covenant, "to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. How much of the land of Canaan? All of it. Now remember, last week we established that we take the Bible literally. This is not a figurative statement. This is not allegorical. This is a literal statement. So when God says all, what does God mean? All. He doesn't mean partial. He doesn't mean kind of, sort of. He means all. And we saw the map last week of the way Israel is divided up right now. It's in three parts, practically four parts. All right? That's not what God intended. He said, I will give you the land and I will give it to you for an everlasting covenant. So that land that Israel is fighting over right now is their land. It's what God promised to them. And this jibber-jabber about, well, it was Palestine at one time, but that was after it was Israel's at one time. So they came in and took it from Israel, and all the history from that, all that. God made the promise to Israel. God will keep the promise to Israel. God will never stop being Israel's God. Never. It's an everlasting covenant. Part of what we're going to talk about tonight, about the different tribulation beliefs, the mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath trib, pre-trib, trib, all that. We're going to talk about all those tonight. One of those tribulation theories makes the church the replacement of Israel. The church is not a replacement for Israel. The promises that God made to Israel are still applicable to Israel. They're not, have not changed, and they'll never change. That's where the word everlasting comes up. Anytime you see the word everlasting, it's God speaking to the people, saying, I will do something everlasting. That means unchanging. So praise God for that. Amen. All right, so Genesis chapter 17. So now, let's go all the way back now to Revelation. You can find the Revelation. And then we'll get caught up with your sheets here in just a second. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1, God kind of gives us an outline. In verse number 19, he sums up the book of Revelation in one verse, kind of tells you what the book of Revelation is going to be talking about. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 19, he says, John, I want you to write these things. And he says, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And a future event he's talking about. Okay? The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So he talks about the churches in the chapter 2 and chapter 3. We'll get to those later on. But he's saying, John, I want you to write these things down because I want you to not only say what's going on right now, but things that will happen in the future. Remember, we take the Bible literally. So if God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If the Bible says that something did happen, it did happen literally. Not allegorical, not fanciful writing. It literally took place. So that's everything we're going to be reading is a literal interpretation of Scripture. Okay? I can't emphasize that enough. Okay? It's got to be literal. It's got to be. All right, so lesson number 1, we'll go over the blanks in case you missed them. I'm going to quickly go through the first page. You should have those already, but if not, I'll go through it quickly so you can get caught up. All right, number 1 question, what does the word rapture mean? The word rapture is devised or derived from a Latin verb, which means to catch up. And it refers to transporting who? Who is the catching up? Who's going to be caught up? Believers. Believers will be caught up. The rapture has nothing to do with the unsaved world. Latin word meaning catching up, and it refers to transporting believers. And we talked about that. Letter B. The scripture speaks of how many raptures?
Six
raptures. Okay, six raptures. Four have already taken place. Who was the first one that was raptured?
Enoch.
E-N-O-C-H. We talked about that. The second one was who? Elijah. How did Elijah get raptured up? The chariot of fire and the horses come down. And we talked about that. How many of you believe that he really got raptured up with chariot of fire and horses? That's a literal interpretation. Okay? Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Okay? All right. Number three, or letter C. Who's that one that got raptured up?
Jesus.
Jesus got raptured up. And where in Scripture does it talk about Jesus being raptured up? Acts chapter 1. And where did that take place? The Mount of Olives. And who was there when Jesus was raptured up? The disciples were there. Okay? And he got raptured up, and they were looking up. And then what took place after that? He got away, he went into the clouds. What took place? Exactly. Angel says, hey, what are y'all doing? What did he tell you to do? Get. go and do what he told you to do. Okay? So the he got raptured. All right? Letter D. All right? Who's this one? A blank in Christ. A man in Christ. And who did we determine that was? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay? They believe that he was the one. This probably happened in one of his stonings. He was thrown outside the city. He was thrown out of a lot of cities. And he was stoned a lot of times. And this is probably one of the times that he was stoned and he was in between life and death. Okay, that's what they think. Now, we don't know 100% sure, but it was believed it was Paul. All right, number two. Two are still yet to come. The two witnesses during what period? The tribulation period. We talked about that last week, where the Antichrist fights against them, and the two witnesses are undefeated until God says, okay, it's time for you to die, and they die, and we talked about that in Revelation chapter 11. All right, letter B, the rapture of who?
Believers.
All right, this has not happened yet. This has not happened yet. It's the next great event in the calendar. And that's what that's why we're studying this now, to try to understand the rapture of the believers. Okay? All right? Now, number two, question number two. Does the word rapture appear in the Bible?
No.
So just because it doesn't appear in the Bible, does that make it not true? All right? What are some other words that do not appear in the Bible, but we take them as true? The Trinity. Okay, the Trinity is a word, okay? What does the Trinity mean? God, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Okay? We don't see the word Trinity, but it's there. All right, what's another word that doesn't appear? Dinosaurs. How many of you believe there were dinosaurs? Yeah. All right? Just because the word dinosaur doesn't appear in the Bible doesn't mean that the dinosaurs didn't exist. In the book of Job, you see the word Leviathan. That's really, it's talking about a great big dinosaur. The word dinosaur just means great lizard. That's all it means. Okay? So just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean they didn't exist. What's another word that we learned? The Bible. No, not the Bible. The grandfather. Grandfather. We see the word Bible in the Bible. Huh, okay, no, that shouldn't be there. No, that's demons, okay. The word demon doesn't appear in the Bible, but we know there are a demon, okay, devils. All right, grandfather. The word grandfather is in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. You can't find the word grandfather anywhere in the Bible, but we know there are grandfathers. I'm staring at some grandfathers, okay? I see them there, okay? So we know that they're in there even though that word doesn't appear. All right? So just because the word rapture does not appear does not mean it's not going to happen. All right, question number three. Here's the big one we're going to get to now. When will the rapture occur? When will the rapture occur? Now, we got to remember, the rapture is not the same as the second coming. The second coming and the rapture are two total different events. All right? When was the first coming? When Jesus was born. That was the first advent. When he literally came to the earth. That's the first coming of Jesus Christ. All right? When the rapture takes place, and we're going to learn this, Jesus will not come to the earth. He will not physically touch down on the earth. That does not take place until after the tribulation period. All right? So the rapture and the second coming are two totally different things. But if you listen to some music, there are some songs that talk about second coming, and they mix it. They mix the rapture and the second coming at times. If you listen to some teachers, they mix them. They say they make the second coming and the rapture of the church the same thing. They're two totally different things. Okay, so we're going to talk about that and learn what the Bible says about it. So letter A, regarding the exact date or time of the rapture, no one apart from God knows what it is. We do not, and you cannot put a date. You cannot put a time. It's impossible. Since I've been alive, there's been 5 or 6 dates and times put to the rapture. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. You better be ready. All right? It's a good way to make a lot of money, but you're being a shyster by doing that. All right? You cannot put a date and time. So when will the rapture take place? We talked about it. Last week I asked you, when will the rapture take place? Okay. That's when the rapture will take place, when God wants it to. There's not a single thing man can do to make it happen. We want the rapture to take place. We beg God to make the rapture. Matter of fact, John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." All right? But think about it this way. If the rapture took place tonight, all right? Number one, would you be left? Okay. All right. Who participates in the rapture? Believers who are what? Saved. They're either dead or alive. They're believers, though. If you're not a believer, you don't take part of the rapture. All right? So if you've got family members or friends who are not believers, will they take part of the rapture? No. They'll be left behind. So we want the rapture to take place, but then we realize and understand that if they're left behind, they face hell like we've never seen it. It'll make World War II, it'll make all the garbage going on look like a picnic based upon what takes place in the tribulation. And we'll learn about that as it comes along. All right? We do not want people to go through tribulation. We do not want it. Okay? We do not want it. But we don't know when it's going to take place. We just know it's going to. All right? Letter B. There are 4 main views concerning the occurrence of the rapture on the prophetic calendar. 4 main views, okay? Now, there's various of these different views and those kinds of things, and we're going to talk about those tonight, but there's only 4 main ones, okay? 4 main, when the rapture will take place. There's 4 main views. Number one, the post-tribulation rapture. The post-tribulation rapture. What do you think that means, the post-tribulation? After the tribulation period. So the tribulation period comes, all the wraths, all the things that we read in the book of Revelation, all those things occur, and then the rapture happens. Okay? All right? That's the first one we want to address tonight. All right? Here's the problem with that one. All right? Number one, you have to be replacing Israel with the church. Okay? All the promises that God makes to Israel, the whole reason for tribulation is to try Israel. It's a time of trial for Israel. Got nothing to do with the Gentiles. Got nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with the church. It's got everything to do with trying Israel. Okay? So, if you read the book of Revelation and you see all the things that take place with the bowls and the trumpets and all those things taking place, it's judging people, the church. And then you can't do that. We do not replace Israel. All the promises God made to Israel, He's going to keep to Israel. The whole reason for tribulation is to judge Israel, not the church. And why do you think it's to judge Israel and not the church? Because what? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Why else? God wants him to come back to him. The church will be gone. Israel will still be around. All right. Now, think about this for a minute. All these events that are taking place right now, currently, all these countries wanting to get rid of Israel. Think about it. If they do succeed, if they do wipe out Israel, then nothing in here is true. There's no reason for us to even exist anymore. We've believed a lie if they wipe out Israel. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. If they wipe out Israel, then what does that do with us? Then there's no such thing as God. You think about that? But if there is a God, and He is true, and He says He's going to protect Israel, He says He never sleeps nor slumbers. If He says that these things are going to take place to Israel and they don't happen, then God's not lying. He's telling the truth. It's either or. Either they wipe out Israel and this book doesn't have any bearing on anything, or God protects Israel and delivers them to go through the tribulation period. So which do you want? You want the second one. See, it's scary to think about. If Iran gets a nuclear bomb and they decide to decimate Israel, or if Syria comes in, or Hezbollah or Hamas wipe off Israel, get rid of all the Jews. See, Hitler tried to do that. He tried to kill all the Jews. Therefore, he would make the Bible ineffective. But no, God says, no, I kept my promises. He always does. You can count on God to keep your promises. Okay? So, you either have to tell, and so post-trib is no dispensations or no replacement theory. In other words, we are replacement for Israel, and we know that's not true. Okay? That means that we'd have to go through the entire tribulation period before the rapture takes place. And I'm going to give you some scripture in just a second that shows that's not going to happen. Okay? Second rapture theory is the mid-tribulation period. The mid, that means right in the middle, after 3.5 years takes place of tribulation, then the church is raptured up. Okay? That's not good. That means the Antichrist comes, and the Antichrist is revealed. That means you have to choose to take the mark of the beast or not to take the mark of the beast. All right, all those things that take place in the first 3.5 years will take place before the rapture happens. All right, here's several reasons why this won't happen. So let me show you. Go to Revelation chapter number 3. Let me show you something. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. Now remember, I read that these churches are literal churches that were going to take place, okay? Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. The words are in red, so what does that signify? Jesus said these words. He says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Okay, he says, I will protect you from that time period that's going to cover all the earth. I will protect you from that. Okay, he says, I will protect you. I will keep you safe from that. All right, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We know this as the Last Supper, when he was speaking to the disciples in the upper room. Okay. All right, let me ask you a question. If Jesus says that he is going to protect us and he's going to keep us from that, where is Jesus right now? Right hand of the Father. And where is that? Heaven. That's where Jesus is right now. Okay? All right? John chapter 14. He says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So, if he says he's going to prepare a place for us, what does that tell us about our future destination? It's heaven, where he's preparing it. Okay? He's preparing a place for us. That means our permanent dwelling place is not here. He's going to take us away from here. Verse number 3. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." I will come again. And what will happen? "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." So he says he's coming back to get us. He says in the book of Revelation chapter 3 that he's going to protect us from that hour of temptation. So how will he protect us? Put a dome of protection around us? What's the best way to be protected from something? To be removed from it. Exactly, okay? So the mid-tribulation theory is that in the middle of the tribulation takes place and the things begin to happen, that's when we'll be raptured up, when the two witnesses are raptured up. Revelation chapter 11, talk about that. But see, before then, we see some of the wrath taking place. The Antichrist comes and those kinds of things. That's why we don't worry about who the Antichrist is. I don't care who the Antichrist is. It won't affect me. It has nothing to do with anything. I'm not worried about taking the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast comes at about 3.5 years in. All right? And if we're still here, then we got a lot of problems. Okay? Don't worry about taking the mark of the beast. You won't be here to choose unless you're not a believer. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so that's the mid-tribulation. Look at the third one. That's the pre-wrath. This is a new one. The pre-wrath rapture. This takes place before the mid-tribulation. And this is where the church is split in two. Some people are raptured out, and some believers are left behind. Okay, that's the belief system here. This is something new since about the 70s.
I was going to say, that's been taking hold, too. That's spread a lot, because I have several friends of mine that I talked to, and they believe that they're going to be left here after the rapture to fight and battle. And I'm like, no, man, God's got angels.
Exactly. Who does the fighting? Who's the one that fights the battles? God does the battle fights. God fights the battles. We don't fight the battles. We see in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, when he comes back, who's the one that wields the sword? Jesus does. We don't. He wields the swords. And telling people, about this, take a look. We don't do the battling. We can't do the battling. We have no capability of doing the battle against Satan and the beast. And the we can't do it, the Antichrist. We can't do it. Only God can do it. All right? So if the before the wrath begins, right before the 3.5 years, they believe that that's when the rapture will take place. But only partial rapture. In other words, those who are really trusting God will be the ones raptured at that time. And those who have a weak trust or faith in Christ, those who aren't working and doing what God wants them to do, they'll the ones that be left behind to deal with the tribulation period. Yeah, wrath. W-R-A-T-H. The pre-wrath. The pre-wrath. Before, because the wraths that start in the book of Revelation, 3.5 years in is when all of them start. But like Daniel said, these believe that the people who are left behind will help God do the fighting. And no, that's not going to happen. Okay? That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to stand against any of that. Okay? So those are three of the theories that are out there. But all of them are allegorical based. All right, there's a lot of literal things that you got to ignore to see. Okay, now let's talk about the fourth one. This is the one that we believe. This is the one that's a literal translation. This is what we believe as a body here, Victory Baptist Church. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. That means believers will not go through the rapture. Okay? We have nothing to do with it. Okay? Pre-tribulation rapture. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now I encourage you to study these on your own also. Don't just take my word for granted. First Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now we see in chapter 4 where it talks about the Lord himself shall return with the angel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, we see that in chapter number 4. Starting in verse 13, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. All right, how many of you believe that Jesus died and rose again? It's necessary for salvation. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. It's necessary. All right? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. All right? When you die in Christ, you go to where? You go to heaven. Your soul goes to heaven. Okay? Your body hasn't gotten there yet, but your soul goes to heaven. Okay? All right? And then even so them also which sleep in Jesus have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Okay? That means Jesus himself shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we know that this event involves Jesus leaving heaven. In order to go somewhere, you have to leave somewhere. So we know that this is talking about the actual coming where Jesus is actually going to leave heaven. Okay, so we know that's going to take... Who's coming with him? The dead in Christ. Those who have died in Christ. We don't see angels here yet. We just see Jesus himself coming, and we see, because it says that God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. So Jesus and those who have come with him, okay, those who have died are coming with him. Y'all follow me so far? Right, the souls, right, okay? All right, now look what it says. It says it, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to leave before this happens. Okay? We have nothing to do with this. There's nothing that has to take place to us first before it happens to them. This happens to them first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where? In the clouds. This is not Jesus Christ setting foot back on this earth. He meets us in the clouds. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We meet him where? In the clouds. Who else do we meet in the clouds? Those who have died in Christ already. We meet them in the clouds. This does not say that Jesus steps forth back on this earth at this time. Does not say that those who have died in Christ come back to earth at this time. We meet him in the clouds. This is not the second coming. This is the rapture. This is the pulling up of the believers to meet Jesus in the clouds. Do y'all understand this? Okay? It does not say after a rapture or after a tribulation period. It does not say during a tribulation period. This takes place before a tribulation period. Now look at chapter 5. Okay? Or verse number 18, I'm sorry. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What comfort do you get from this event? What comfort do you get? What are some of the comforts you get?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. How? What is the peace of mind that we get? Okay, we're going to be with Jesus. The Holy Spirit. What else do we get? What else? We're not going to endure a tribulation. What else? We're going to get to see those who have died in Christ before us. What else do we get promised here? We get to see Jesus face to face. Who's ever seen Jesus face to face here? None of us have. But we will. Now, are you telling me that we're going to really literally be in the clouds? No way. Have you ever been in a cloud before? Okay. We've been in an airplane. We've flown through clouds. How in the world are we going to actually stand in clouds? Do what?
We're going to get spirit.
Do what? What did you say, Shay? And so what does that require? Literal translation. This is not allegorical. I believe this will literally happen. Now, we've been kind of messing around and just kidding with each other a little bit. But you know how one of the ways they may explain the disappearance? UFOs. UFOs came and zapped all these people off the earth. That's where they all went to. That could be one explanation that is offered when the rapture takes place. How many of y'all can see that happening? How else would you explain it? I mean, literally, how else would you explain millions of people disappearing off the face of the earth like that? They have to come up with something.
What was the cult that believed that the UFO...
Yeah, Heaven's Gate cult. Yeah, they believe that behind the comet that they were going to... And so all the people committed suicide and died, believing that when this comet came by, they were going to be raptured up to the comet.
They had to die first.
They had to die first, yes. All right, some people will not die when the rapture takes place.
Yeah.
No, that was a different one. That was a Jim Jones thing in Africa. That was different. But they did drink Kool-Aid, though, in this one, too. I think it was Tang. I can't remember.
It wasn't Kool-Aid, though. It was actually
Flavor-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid. It was some kind of a drink where they drank it. Okay? All right? So, number four, it says the correct... Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse number 1. We got there. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Okay? That's not... That we don't like that one. We have no need for him to write. Why does that bother us?
Because we like to know.
We like to know. I want to know. Paul says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And what's that word called that we don't always have to know everything?
Faith.
Faith. Verse 2. For you yourselves, he's speaking to believers, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For that they sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Okay? We shall not be appointed unto wrath. That word wrath, that's the key word there. What is that word wrath? Me, not wrath, wrath, God's wrath. Have we experienced God's wrath yet? No. We've heard Sodom and Gomorrah, but that's a localized wrath. The flood, that was a worldwide wrath, but the rapture didn't take place then. There's coming a wrath. And what's the reason for wrath? What's the reason for God's wrath? Judgment. Judgment of what? Sin. God will judge sin. His wrath. But what does that verse say? For God has not appointed us. What is the word us meaning? Believers. He's not appointed us to wrath. Okay, so think about this for a minute. When is the next great moment or time of wrath, of judgment? The tribulation period. Okay? The Bible nowhere speaks of another type of wrath. We see Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the flood. Do we see any other mention of any kind of other wrath? Help me out. Do we see it? During the tribulation period. That's a sign of wrath. God's wrath against sin. Judging sin. What'd you say? Oh, yeah. They were that close, but God didn't do it. And it was just localized to Nineveh. God put his wrath on Jesus, but not us. Do what? Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah, but that was the localized. The flood was a worldwide judgment. But the next moment, next time of wrath is tribulation period. So what does that verse say? Read it again for me. Somebody read that verse for me. What does it say? Read that verse. Brother Jim, read that for me, would you please?
For
Verse 9. What does it read? What does it say?
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has not appointed us to wrath. Who is us?
Believers.
Believers. Who will be protected from the wrath?
Believers.
Who is going to protect us from the wrath? Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So what does that tell you about the other theories of the rapture? They got to be wrong. The first one says the rapture takes place when?
After.
The end of tribulation. What's the reason for tribulation? We talked about it. Judgment of the Jews. Okay, so that one can't make it. All right, what's the other theory say? Mid-tribulation. So when does the rapture take place? Halfway through a tribulation period. Through judgment. What does 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9 tell us? He's going to protect us from the wrath through Jesus Christ. So does that mean that believers will go through the tribulation period? No. So which theory of the rapture do you hold to? Because I said it or because the scripture says it? Do what? The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9, says it. Not because I said it. Because there's a lot more saintly, understanding men of scholar. Got nothing to do with how many PhDs you have. The scriptures are always the truth. Okay? All right. Look at verse number 10. Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do. This is to bring you comfort. If I told you that you were going to go through tribulation, if I told you that you were going to have to face the number of the beast, if I told you you were going to have to face the Antichrist, would that bring you comfort? No. The comfort that I can assure you is you're going to meet your loved ones in the air, you're going to see Jesus face to face, and you will not face the tribulation. That brings me comfort. That's what it's talking about. Miss Martha?
I have a question with the post-tribulation. If it's the judgment of the Jews, what about non-believers that are not Jews?
That they're facing the wrath and there's nothing that... Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Because remember, the post-tribulation is... The tribulation is supposed to be the judgment of the Jews, but if it takes place during the rapture doesn't take place till after the tribulation period, then that means it's judging the church. And the church is replacing Israel, and the promises God made to Israel are null and void. That's wrong, because the tribulation is to judge the Jewish nation, not the church. That makes sense?
These are all what people think.
Yes. Yes.
They're not biblical.
No, they're not biblical. These are man's theories. These are man's theories. Okay, these are man's theories. All right. Let's go to question number 4. Under 4, pre-tribulation, this correct view of the rapture means that all church-age believers will not go through the 7-year tribulation. We will get to the tribulation period. We will describe exactly what takes place when. We'll get to there. But not tonight, of course. The correct view means that all church-age believers. Okay? That goes along with the paper that I gave you. You should have that supplemental piece of paper I gave to you. Has it broken out? Okay, that should show it to you, the calendar there. Okay. All right, question number four. Is the rapture the same event as the second coming of Christ? No. No. What's the big... Well, there's several differences, but what's the major difference that we've learned? What's the big difference? What's one big difference we see between the rapture and the second coming? Jesus doesn't come down to earth. Where does he come to? The clouds. Okay? He doesn't come to earth literally. He will come to earth literally, but not at this time. Okay? All right? At the rapture, Christ comes for his saints. And we've seen that John chapter 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 58. You can write that scripture in there too. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. Those are talking about the rapture. You shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the trump of God. It talks about the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. Okay? All right. Now, it doesn't cover that in the notes, but let me ask you a question. I want us to think about it. Where is the Holy Spirit right now? In us. Okay, in believers. All right. What is the Holy Spirit's job? What is his ministry? To guide us, to direct us, to convict the world. But what else? To comfort us. What else? For God to reside inside of us, what else? With his people. To comfort us, what else? Okay, show us Jesus in his ways. What did you say, Miss Pat? To warn the world of what's coming. What did you say, Miss Reva? He's holding back the sin of the world. He's also the seal, the promise of what we've got waiting for us. It's a seal. All right? When he leaves, when the Holy Spirit leaves, what does that open up? Everything. It opens up everything. So for the Holy Spirit to leave, who must leave? The believers. When the believers leave, who comes in? Satan comes in. Okay? So under letter B, or letter A still, the rapture introduces the tribulation. The tribulation will not take place until the Holy Spirit's gone. The rapture introduces the tribulation. All right? At the second coming of Christ, he comes with his saints. Revelation chapter 19, 11 to 16. It says, we come back on horses. Why horses? Wow. If you don't like horses, you better get used to them. Something's wrong. Okay? I'm being facetious, but yes, okay? All right, the second coming of Christ concludes the tribulation. It doesn't start the tribulation, it concludes the tribulation. The rapture begins the tribulation, the second coming of Christ concludes the tribulation. All right? All right, we got a few minutes. Number five. Will Old Testament saints be resurrected at the rapture? Old Testament saints.
Yes.
All right. Old Testament saints. Will the Old Testament saints. What is Old Testament? What is, okay. Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. Actually, the wording should be covenant. Okay. The saints before Jesus came. That's what it's talking about. Will they be resurrected? Or will it just be those who have died in Christ? Will they be included in this first resurrection? What do you think? Okay, as I've heard that. Okay. Have they been resurrected yet? It says some did, not all of them. With his saints. Those are the ones who are in Christ now.
So it says that when Jesus was crucified, that when he gave up the ghost,
when he died,
that the saints.
Some saints, but they weren't resurrected until after he was resurrected. It says he was resurrected on that same day. Some graves were opened. Doesn't say all the graves. Some graves. Oh, and by the way, just to give you a commercial, we're going to talk about that this Wednesday night. We're going to talk about all that. All right. So, do the Old Testament saints, the ones who died before Jesus came, are they resurrected in the rapture? All right. Instead of me telling you what I think, what does the Bible say? Go to Revelation chapter 20. Okay. Revelation chapter 20. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's not Revelation chapter 20. All right. Revelation chapter 20. Now pay attention to the wording. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1. John's writing what he saw. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Who is in the bottomless pit? Satan. Okay, he's been locked up. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He's locking him up. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So that tells us that Jesus comes, Satan is defeated and locked up for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, he gets out. We'll talk about that. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, who is that? People who died during the tribulation. They're beheaded for trusting Jesus Christ and not taking the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. There will be people saved during the tribulation period, but they'll be beheaded for not taking the beast's mark. It's going to happen. Okay, so he says, I saw them, okay, and which, because it says, beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Jesus with Christ 1,000 years. So that tells us the first group he sees are those who died during the tribulation period that didn't take the mark. Okay? Didn't take the mark. They didn't receive the mark, they didn't take it, and they were beheaded. That's how they die. That's pretty brutal. But that's what takes place. Hold on a minute, that's my daughter. She knows we're in church. It's an emergency. Okay, that's fine. Okay. I only have three people that can reach me no matter what, and she's one of them. Okay? All right. Verse number 5. But the rest of the dead... Now, wait a minute. Where are the dead, other dead? There's two sets of deads we're talking about. Okay. What's happened to the first set of dead? They've been raptured already. This is taking place after the tribulation period, he's saying. Well, who has risen from the grave already? Jesus has, and who else? Believers have risen up from the already. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead, who is that?
Non-believers.
Old Testament saints. The rest of the dead lived not again until what? The 1,000 years were finished. This is the second resurrection, or the first resurrection. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, the dead in Christ rise. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So where are those people at this moment? They're in heaven. Okay? They're in heaven. Who is not in heaven at this time when the rapture takes place? Who's not there?
Old Testament
saints and non-believers. There's only two. Non-believers, Old Testament saints. Okay? This resurrection he's talking about is who? Old Testament saints. And when are they resurrected? After 1,000 years. They're still there in the ground. They've not resurrected yet.
So why is that?
Good question. We'll get to there. We'll get to that. Okay? They're not part of the church. Okay? They were Jews. There are people who trusted Christ that weren't Jews necessarily. They believed in the coming Messiah. But most of it was Jewish. Mostly Hebrews. Mostly. Some strangers mixed in, but mostly Hebrew people. Okay? All right? So they are resurrected. Now, just go to a couple. We've got just about a minute or so left. It says, all right, verse number 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go to deceive the nations which are from the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, there's those names, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. If you hear people saying Gog and Magog is going to be during the tribulation, no, it's not. This happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Okay? And they went up to breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city is where? Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now wait a minute. Who is this now? The saints have risen. The Old Testament saints have risen. Who is this now? Those who don't know Christ. Those who have not had faith in Christ whatsoever. That's this dead. So they come back to life. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, those dead, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who is it that's cast into the lake of fire?
Those
Unbelievers. Little grandpa down the road who's so sweet. Your uncle that did so much for you. Your best friend you grew up with. Your good works aren't going to do nothing. You must trust Jesus Christ. This is not popular. People don't like it. They get angry. But it's what Scripture says.
Now the ones that sit in the sea.
Those who have died in wars or drowned. Or,
but if they were believers, they
were already gone. They're already gone. Right. They're already... When the rapture takes place, no matter where the dead are, whether they've been cremated, whether they've been... Because you know, right now, dead bodies that have been around for 100 years, 200, they're already dust. I mean, really, literally, they're dust. So, these dead are not believers, not saints. They're the dead who have never placed their faith in the Lord. So we'll talk a little bit more. Probably in a couple of lessons, Brother Jim, we'll get to why the Jews are why the Old Testament saints aren't included in the rapture. We'll talk about that when we get there. To the blanks on that one, no. Old Testament and tribulation saints are resurrected and judged following the tribulation. Okay? How many years was what? Oh, we don't know how many Israelites will be saved. A lot of Israelites will be saved. We don't know for sure. But there's a specific number that talks about something else. All right, so question number 6, next week. It's 7 o'clock, or it's after 7 o'clock. So, All right. Everybody caught up with the blanks? Okay. All right. So hopefully we'll cover the last 4 questions next week. Okay, hopefully we'll get there. Last 4 questions. So, okay.
So, real quick.
Yes.
The second coming.
When Jesus literally comes back to earth. No, the tribulation period takes place. The tribulation period takes place, and then Jesus himself literally comes back from heaven with us to the earth.
Okay, so the last person to be saved. When I was a young teenager in church,
mm-hmm.
the preacher said, Jesus is going to come back when the reason why we're supposed to be sharing the gospel is because when that last person hears the gospel and comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal as their personal Savior, whether it's man or woman, then what takes place? The resurrection.
The rapture.
I mean,
but
the rapture.
Yeah, but there's no scriptural basis that says that.
Really?
There's nothing that says when the last soul is saved. It just says. We don't know when the time, so to be ready, to be busy spreading the word, telling people about it.
Because there's going to be people that are going to be saved during the tribulation.
There will be people who are saved during a tribulation period. Do what? I'm sorry, Jack? Right, but we don't know. It's not our responsibility. We do what God's told us to do, but God does not behold to that timeline.
Yeah, but that's not going to be what brings.
No,
the rapture.
No, that's not going to be the rapture takes place.
Okay.
That's not what happens. All right. God bless y'all. See you Wednesday. Don't forget potluck.